Welcome back to the UOTA podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Russell. If you've listened to any of my other shows, you know it's been a real long hot minute since I last published one. And don't worry, I've got a lot of really great excuses. All right. So for starters, I was finishing the end of my level two fieldwork, my very first one. Then we had the UOTA conference. Then it was the holidays. Then I started my next level two fieldwork. Not to mention that I still don't fully appreciate the sound of my own voice. So there may have been a little bit of procrastination in there as well. But here we are, and I'm so grateful that you're joining me on the show today. You'll get to hear from Mackenzie Jensen. She is an occupational therapist working in Carbon County, and she works with Mackenzie Wilson, an occupational therapy assistant. They're going to share with us their background in occupational therapy, as well as how they work together as a team, compare a little bit of the rural setting to more of an urban setting, and share with us the challenges of working in a rural community, as well as what makes it all worth it. So without further ado, let's hear from Chelsea and Mackenzie.
Chelsea, would you mind getting us started by just giving a background of your occupational therapy experience and how you've come to be working in the rural community that you're in right now?
Sure. So I'm in Carbon County, Utah, working out of Price, and I grew up in this area and then went to the University of Utah for my graduate program, and I graduated in 2011. And after graduation, I came back. Started working in a skilled nursing facility and worked through several skilled nursing facilities. I'm a little bit restless until I moved to Oregon in 2016. And I worked in another skilled nursing facility, but that one was in Springfield and Eugene. So it was quite a bit bigger than what we have here. And then a year ago, my husband and I moved back to the area and I fell into a job in pediatrics. So now I'm doing pediatrics after all those years in skilled nursing. So that's how we're here.
Sounds like you have a lot of experience. I'm interested to know kind of the contrast that you've had between working at the skilled nursing facility in more urban areas versus where you are now. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But Mackenzie, do you want to explain your occupational therapy background?
Yeah, so mine isn't quite as extensive, but I played soccer down at Southern Utah in Cedar City. And so I actually graduated in X-ray science and worked at the hospital down there with the cardiac and pulmonary rehab department for about 8 years. And then my husband is actually from Carbon County. So we just moved back about 2 years ago. And I kind of had to figure out what I was going to do. So I went back to school and I just graduated earlier this year and had done a couple different field works around here. And one of them was actually with Chelsea being employed through the hospital. But then we are primarily in the schools and then we're contracted to different places throughout town, like skilled nursing and stuff. But yeah, our primary is pediatric. So I haven't been doing it for super long, but I've loved it so far. It's been great.
That's awesome. And you are a CODA, is that correct?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So how long have you guys been working together then?
Like including her field work?
Yeah.
Basically off and on since January.
Okay.
So yeah, almost 10, 11 months.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That is crazy. Weird.
Yeah. How do your roles play in?
So we are the only pediatric OTs in our area. So I'll tell you about my roles first and then Mackenzie can fill in because we overlap, which is fantastic.
Yeah, we can like kind of do our own thing, but then work together. It works really well.
Yeah. So I do, together we definitely do the schools. So we've kind of split up our groups, like how we work it out and doing our quarterlies and attending meetings and actually seeing kids on a regular basis because our caseload is close to 100 in Carbon County schools.
It's over, which yeah. That's over, probably.
Yeah, it's really high.
That's just the two of you?
Yeah.
And before it was just me and it was nearly impossible.
Wow.
So we have that, and then we have another school that's a charter school.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we have 10 kids there. And then I also do early intervention right now. and outpatient for the hospital. Mackenzie stepped in, which helped a ton. So she's taken a lot on. She's actually playing kind of an administrative role to our paraprofessionals in the school. But I still have to kind of, not really, but I kind of have to supervise her for licenses and for testing all of our kids. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot. So that's where we're at with that one, for me anyhow, from my perspective.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty similar. Like we have our own kids that need monthly minutes, so we can kind of schedule that and do it in a way that works for us. And then we, like she said, kind of divide and conquer our quarterlies and meetings. And I can help out with assessments if she needs it. And it just kind of depends on what our schedule is. And right now I've been helping a lot at one of the skilled nursing facilities and then actually filling in for a lady at cardiac rehab while she's on maternity leave. So it's just been kind of crazy right now. But
it's proving that we are definitely jacks of all trades, though. I've even periodically helping at that same nursing home. Not as much as Mackenzie by any means, but just here and there.
So how do you guys manage getting all of that done in a day? Like I've just been doing my level two. Once a week, I go to the Nebo School District and their therapists have like 130 students on their caseload and they utilize motor aids to go and actually give a lot of the treatments to the students. And then we do a lot of the assessing. We do some treatments when we have time, but I can't conceptualize how you guys can get all of this done in a week.
It's really hard, honestly.
We have three aides that work about 29 hours a week that help with doing treatments. And then we have one other one that just works on our early release days.
Yeah. Easily we could do 40 hours or more a week, but they try to stay out of overtime.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, I know that nearly 80% of my work is in the schools. Some months I don't do any outpatient, and some months like this one, I have several after hours. So it takes a lot more time, but we're definitely full time.
As far as like hiring or new therapists or new aides, is that something you guys are working on, or are you seeing in the future that you're staying with just the two of you?
Ooh, that's a really good question, because up until now, I don't think we've ever had an OTA working under an OT. They worked with paraprofessionals and they would try to modify their caseloads the best that they could to make it manageable. So with Mackenzie coming on, we're looking down the line. I really want to build a program down here for pediatrics, because we are definitely underserved in this area. And I think, honestly, to cover our area, we could have at least like four pediatric therapists working in the area just to cover the needs. But we have to prove that. So we kind of have to keep building the program and maxing ourselves out a little to prove that we need another one and then another. But I definitely see the potential there. So last year, we even had one more aide than we have this year. But with Mackenzie coming on, we did a pretty good analysis of what our aides could handle. We actually were able to pare it down by one aide until we build the program more too within the schools. It's been really fun to see what happens bringing on another licensed professional and how it can change the balance, change the other job. But the needs are being met more. Mackenzie is amazing. She's been really helping major problems in the schools where I'm running around doing meetings. She can stay there and focus on a problem for a couple of hours if she has to, in between all the other stuff she does. So it's not just meeting our caseload needs, but we're trying to actually like meet the needs and go above and beyond, because there's so much more than just seeing a child for 30 minutes once a quarter. We have really, really difficult cases, you could say, like anybody would, but they need extra attention.
We just have a school that's strictly like special needs that we're over as well.
Yeah. And so having her there more often really helps to meet those needs for those children. Otherwise, I was hardly ever there. And she's there nearly daily, right, Mackenzie?
I try to be, for the most part.
So it's definitely out there that we could pull in more professionals. And we are
trying to meet the needs of our area, but it takes a little at a time to build a program and really prove that we have those needs.
How long has the program been in development?
They've had OTs in and out, or they've had the OTs coming in and out, different contracts with different companies in our area for a very long time. But we've all been spread so thin that the attention wasn't there to actually build a good program. Yeah. So when I'm saying program, I'm saying like with the distinct focus on these children and helping the children in our community.
There really aren't many OTs in the area. And so they're all pretty spread thin.
Yeah.
So they have more adult care than they do pediatric?
By far. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think part of that is the payment. OTs are kind of pricey, and pediatrics doesn't pay very much because it's usually Medicaid. So there's a lot of negotiating just to get decent returns on that. And I think that's another reason why there's more, it's more lucrative to do older, the older population than it is to do pediatric. But we have some good backing from our hospital to support that and balance it out so we can continue doing this.
What would you say is different from doing like the skilled nursing facilities in more urban places versus doing what you've been able to see here in the skilled nursing facilities in rural communities?
Kind of interesting. So when I worked in Oregon, they are quite a bit bigger. It's Eugene and Springfield, and I worked in two facilities there. They had very large facilities. Also, resources of the community to support them, larger companies, access to. So as a therapist, I would be able to pull in somebody, a PRN. This is the craziest thing to me. I didn't know because I came from rural communities first. But if I was shorthanded, I could call in a PRN from anywhere in our company or somebody that was hired as a PRN, and they would come in and help and take the hours. In a rural area, you don't have that privilege as much. So yeah. Mackenzie's doing it now, but I mean, imagine having 13 Mackenzies to choose from to go and help in a skilled nursing facility. So we would run on two or three OTs, again, in the larger area, two or three OTs, two or three physical therapists, and then double the PTAs and OTAs, and then speech therapy on top of that. We had clinics that were nearby to support rehabilitation, to do neurological interventions, cardiac follow-up. But you come to a rural community, you're lucky to have a part-time OT to a full-time OT in the facility. They're usually not just dedicated to that, though. They're the rehab directors, or they do home health, or maybe they have their own company outside. And then you'll have maybe a PT, or you contract with a PT to come in and do your evals and your supervisory visit, but they're not there full time. So then you might have a physical therapy assistant, an occupational therapy assistant, and a part-time speech therapist coming in and out. So you never get the attention that you need. Like the patients don't get what they need when it's a situation like that. It's really hard, but this is how we meet the needs of our communities, is by spreading ourselves pretty thin. What kind of balance?
Well, and yeah, and even when they are trying to find full-time positions, it's still hard. I know some of the skilled nursings here have struggled to hire assistants or even therapists, whatever, even when they're offering full-time, just because it's a harder place, or people don't necessarily want to come as much to an area like this.
Just too far away. That's what they think. But at the same time, I love it. I wouldn't trade it because I love having all the opportunities to do so many things.
Yeah, so I can drive to four different jobs and get to each one within 5 or 10 minutes. I don't have to traffic.
And right now with COVID, I can sit at the same building and do two or three different jobs. It's pretty awesome with telehealth and everything too.
Have you noticed a difference in the population demographics and or even diagnoses that you see?
So yes, very much so. And even in the facilities, oh, I've got stories. So in one facility in Eugene, I saw a lot of people who were homeless or had significant mental health issues, even though it wasn't geared towards that. That's kind of the place that was able to handle that. At my other facility, they were mostly ortho and neurological. It was pretty fascinating, but a higher level of function. And down here, out here in rural Utah, we see a little bit of everything, but I think the people who end up going to skilled nursing facilities tend to be those who either have acute situations or they don't have a home that is set up to manage their disability or their changes that they're experiencing. So it is a different thing all around. If we had the population that we had, that I had in Oregon, the same size, we definitely would see more acute and orthopedic or neurologic. But all those people get sent up to the specialized hospitals in Utah and Salt Lake counties. We don't get to keep as many of them because we don't have the clinics.
Yeah. And we have a lot of coal miners, and we have a pretty big geriatric population considering the size of the town.
I would agree. It's a great place to retire. We have a low cost of living here, but yeah. I think that's another reason, Mackenzie. You said the coal miners, their benefits are also very good for long-term care usually. So it's another reason why I think our geriatrics and our population here, why we see more geriatrics in general versus pediatrics. Home health is really big down here. It's huge.
Do you get out in a lot of home visits, either with the preschool kids or any of the older adults?
Right now, Mackenzie and I aren't really doing a whole lot of home health, but it is available if we want to go into it.
If we just raise our hand and say, hey, we'll help, they'll be like, yep, come here.
And for pediatrics, it's kind of fun, but through the schools, we get to go into some homes for children who are homebound, not homeschool, but homebound. So it's really fun. Go work with them in their own environments. We have a few of those. Try to think of what else. Yeah. Otherwise, we don't do a whole lot at home. I used to do a lot of home evaluations when I worked in the care centers here, the SNFs, but that was about it. Besides home health.
Mackenzie, this question's more for you, but also for you, Chelsea. As a new grad, do you feel like this is a place that was good for you to start?
Yes and no. I mean, that's kind of a hard one, but like good. They always said in school, like probably one of the worst places was to start was home health. Like one of the better places to start was SNF. But I think for me, it was for my personality and for like my prior healthcare experience, like it wasn't too overwhelming for me. But I could see it definitely being so if you really hadn't had much prior experience. So it was not a lot, but it's just still like getting your feet wet and then trying to get your feet wet in a couple different areas and not just specializing in one area. But I really liked it. It's just provided so much of a variety and like definitely not getting burnt out. It's been really good. I've enjoyed it.
What would you say for having a new grad join the force?
Oh my gosh. First of all, I've got to talk Mackenzie up. I probably do it way too much as she's sick of it. Stop. Mackenzie does have that really extensive medical background, and she also has a great memory, and she's super motivated. She's always on top of it and really great at time management. Honestly, I feel like she's an exception as a new grad. So it's been really cool, but also she's like a sponge. She like looks up something and she's got it down. She's eager to implement new things, and I absolutely love it. She brings in new research. She's bringing in all the stuff from school. And I really like having new grads in this setting. I could see it being a real challenge because you're grasping so many different programs, intervention styles, billing systems, and even supervision levels. Like you have to know where your OT is, but you also have to be aware of your paraprofessionals or which boss you have in which place and which hat you're wearing. So there's a lot for a new grad to take in. But Mackenzie's done it very well. And I feel like, yes, Mackenzie, you're an exception. You've been amazing at it. Otherwise, I think it's harder. For new grad, I would strongly suggest a setting that they can work with a team very closely and that will guide them through all the difficult things, like the billing systems and procedures of the company, or what an IEP really is if it's a school, or like Medicare billing and all the changes it's been through. I think they should be in one place where they're pretty solid and can build a foundation. Rural areas are tougher. You have to be very open and very, what's the word I'm trying to say? Like
Adaptable, probably, I would think.
Yeah, and willing to change. You can't be stuck on any type of like, I'm the best, I graduated, there's no ego. You can't have that. So not in a rural area, you don't have that opportunity.
I think it helped for me though too, like being able to do my field work here. Yeah. In each of the different settings, like I did a field work in both the SNFs. I did one with home health. I did one in the schools and the hospital. It definitely helped bridge the gap.
And I did most of mine up in Salt Lake in very different settings. I only did one in a SNF. So it was very different for me to transition from neuro and pediatric sensory to a SNF. It was very different, but I figured it out and I had good support with OTs that were really well seasoned. So that helped a lot. And a good company that was willing to send people to train.
What are your biggest fear for therapy out there? And is it mostly billing and finances and people not wanting to live out in the middle of
nowhere?
I would say it's the location more than anything.
Yeah.
We're only an hour away from Utah County. It's not that bad. But if you're not used to rural areas, it could be a bit of a shock because you don't have Target and shopping malls and strip malls everywhere. You have just a couple of grocery stores and like a Walmart, and then you have to entertain yourself.
It's definitely, you've got to be more like drawn to the outdoorsy. Oh, yeah. Like it's not for city slick.
You definitely have to entertain yourself, and it's really fun when you figure it out. But yeah, that's I think why a lot of people aren't so eager to come to a rural area is you don't have all the amenities that you do in a city.
Like we can take our four-wheelers to the sand dunes not too far away. We can go camping. We can go hiking. You can go fishing. We can take the jet skis to the lake that's like 20 minutes away. There's so much. You can go hunting. I have a farm. So you can come take care of my cows. There's really, I mean, a lot of it's outdoorsy, like, but we still, all my kids play sports and yeah, like it's just, it's kind of more of a simplistic lifestyle, which I enjoy. I feel like I try to just, my kids like want them, I just want them to play outside. We, you know, have a garden and they love to go pick things and water the garden and just, I don't know, just be outside and not watching TV or doing things on a tablet. It's definitely being outside for sure.
Yeah. We have amazing canyons and bike paths. She was right. Like 20 minutes away, you have a reservoir, and then 20 minutes or less away, you could be up in the trees camping and it's beautiful. So that's what we do all the time is camp.
If there is like an occupational therapist who's listening to this right now and they're like, yeah, I think I want to move to Price and I want the outdoor life. I want more of a rural community. Do you think they would be able to get a job in the pediatric field?
Right now,
I wouldn't go pediatric probably.
No, but there are many, many jobs.
There are, yeah, there's definitely some other opportunities, but I wouldn't go as far as to say pediatric.
Okay.
But our community could. We do have two skilled nursing facilities right here, and then another one that's 45 minutes south of us, and it's definitely underserved by far. And the hospital, we're always trying to meet the needs of our community, and the community is showing that it needs more and more help. Other companies in our area are looking to expand different programs, and I know that they have satellite clinics all around the area. And I think an OT could come down and say, hey, I'm here, and they would hire them. They might have to do two or three different jobs, but they would definitely have their home base and something to work with for sure. Just probably not pediatrics until we continue to prove that we need more, which we do. We just have to really show it.
How do you show it?
So one, I'm new to pediatrics, but my goal is to show that we are efficient. I'm not the most efficient person, but efficient with like treating the kids, maybe with those things that normally they'd send up to Shriners or Primary Children's or to some outpatient clinic, but that we can do that here. And the more of a client base that we get and they look at the billing practices and things like that, the more we can prove that we need more help. So in the schools, the more kids that we end up putting onto related services and IEPs, the more help we will need. Because as you said, like at NEBO and even here, we have over 100 kids on caseload. And that is nearly, it's possible, but it's nearly impossible when it comes to everything that's involved. So we're just going to keep proving, building our caseload and proving that we need more help to meet the needs of our community. And we, again, we have really good support from the hospital we work for and the contract that they developed with our school district. They're amazing. We don't want to abuse any of this. That's not the point. The point is to really meet the needs of our community. I think Mackenzie and I are showing that we need more and more and more specialized help in order to
do that. Like some of our doctors have, I think because now that there may be more of a resource to pull from with us, that they are starting to order more outpatient services and be aware of, hey, there are some possible opportunities to be able to serve and get some of the help that the pediatrics need in our community. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're starting to recognize that as well, and that they would be more willing and able because we could have a little more time to dedicate to doing outpatient or meeting those needs of whatever we need to do for our community.
Well, and then I think the next part that we're not able to do because we're building all of this and or taking care of our caseloads, basically, we're not even able to market. So we are trying to get this momentum based on the work that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of another thing is we don't even have room to go market ourselves and prove this.
Yeah. We have ideas of starting some like aquatic therapy and things like, but it's just,
it's a matter of time and money in the end too, because we have to have some kind of financial backing in order to make this program happen. And I think that's another thing with the cities with more resources, they're able to do that. They're able to access more grants or have more philanthropy, whereas we are just going to keep spinning our wheels and hope to gain some traction on something until we can make it work. So the pediatric clinic, there's one physical therapist that does a lot of pediatrics, and then me, and then speech therapists. So right now there isn't a specialized clinic, and that's something we're hoping for too. The speech therapist and I have been talking about it a lot and how nice it would be to have our own little place. But again, we have to continue to build on it and show that we do need it and that it will take care of itself when the time comes. So we have to create business models, I guess, doing the footwork to get there.
Yeah. And my hope is that this podcast can help open people's eyes to just how much of a need there is in rural communities, because I had no idea that they were so underserved. I knew that in general, there's a lot more health disparities in rural communities, but it's been eye-opening to see just how much it puts stress on you guys, but also the people that live out there. It's kind of that occupational therapy justice.
Exactly. And that's the hard part too, is we are so spread out that we are great at doing a lot of things, but we're not able to meet those specialized needs either in a rural area. So yeah. I would love to see things like a wheelchair and seating clinic or a feeding clinic or a sensory clinic, anything along those lines. But we can't do that because we're spread out trying to meet all the needs of our community to the best of our ability without overextending. Mm-hmm. But the needs are here and everybody does deserve that care. But you know what? I tell my boss all the time, I feel like I won the job lottery. I love this job so much. I've always enjoyed the rural areas, but this one is definitely one of my favorites.
You make me want to at least just go and see what it's like.
You're always welcome to come.
Come join us for a day.
Yeah, come play with us.
Well, thank you guys for taking the time to talk with me and explain what you do and all the joys and challenges that come with working there. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you think other people should know?
I think for me, just personally, like I just like the variety. Mm-hmm. I feel like it provides something new and different every day. It's not just being stuck at a SNF every day. It's not just being, you know, kind of get stuck in that rut. Like it's just something different every day. Even the kids one day to the next can be completely different, and you can could do a completely different activity. And depending on that child, it can be different. And then a couple hours later, I can be in a completely different setting. And it's just, it can be stressful, but at the same time, like, I just enjoy it. It's going to work fun. I don't dread going to work.
No, I agree, Mackenzie. I think that variety makes it so fulfilling. Like, we never do the same thing twice, it seems like, ever. I like that.
Well, that's a wrap. Special thanks to Chelsea Jensen and Mackenzie Wilson for joining us on the show today. Creating this podcast has honestly been a huge undertaking. a lot more than I had anticipated. And sometimes I think maybe I bit off more than I could chew, but I'm keeping with it because so far I've really enjoyed learning from other occupational therapists, but I've also enjoyed reaching outside of my comfort zone, doing a podcast, talking and listening to my voice. Like I said earlier, it's not the most comfortable thing for me, but I feel like it really helps push me. So anyways, enough about me. My next episodes, I'm hoping to get some more information from the UOTA board and committees, let you guys know what positions are out there and what ways that you can help contribute to our occupational therapy community. So I hope that you stay tuned and we'll see you next time.